Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I thought a verse from Psalm 33:12 would be appropriate, which says, "Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord." It's amazing, right before verse 12, though, we have verses 8 and 9, which says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." We have such a powerful, overwhelming, awesome God who can create out of nothing a whole universe. Out of the universe, he creates a little ball called Earth in a corner of that universe. And on that little ball, he places man, and that's the place that the Lord Jesus came and died for. It's such an amazing, wonderful story of the love of God that he has for mankind, for each one of us. And we just want to pray for each of our nations today that God would certainly have revival, that God would draw us closer to himself, that as the gospel and the word of God is preached, that many would respond, and that this land could be transformed into a place that once again would bring God's good hand of blessing upon us all. Let us pray together for revival.
Good day. Thank you for joining our Moments from the Mission Field, with interviews and stories about how the Lord's work is reaching out globally through the agency of Mission Go.
Grateful moments. Amid challenges, missionary life is fraught with challenges that test resilience. Robbie and Akiko recently navigated the harrowing experience of a car accident, which, while thankfully free of injuries, underscored the daily perils missionaries face. Their appreciation for the community's prayers reflects a deeper understanding of the constant reliance on divine protection in unpredictable environments. Another report from the field sheds light on opportunities within foreign lands. This area remains complex as the landscape shifts with local political and social dynamics. Progress is showing, but the journey of alignment and efforts involves a persistent struggle against cultural barriers and bureaucratic restrictions. Jeff and Alexandra Lopes' announcement of moving into a new apartment encapsulates a victory after a prolonged search. Their gratitude toward the Home Office emphasizes the interconnectedness of our mission and the challenges of establishing a stable living situation in a foreign context. Health concerns and legalities present ongoing trials for our missionaries. Jamison Galloway's expired health card in Belize serves as a stark reminder of the bureaucratic hurdles that can impede access to medical care. Margaret Mooney's endeavor to initiate Casa de Shalom is fraught with uncertainty as she awaits crucial legal responses. The progress of Karen Lubbers Adele training church leaders in Pater District showcases the urgent need for educational programs amidst local complexities. The shift to full-time ministry emphasizes the difficult transition many missionaries face when stepping away from secular jobs while Allen. And Tricia's efforts in planting a house church in Syria highlight both the excitement and dangers involved in such undertakings. Meanwhile, Jesse Mitchell's takeover of nutritional needs at the Kimia Center in Congo illustrates the multifaceted nature of missionary work that extends beyond spiritual outreach to practical care for the community. However, his battle with malaria signifies the ever-present health risks missionaries confront. As we navigate the complexities of this calling, we must reach out for support. Robert Baidya's request for prayers concerning his expired health card and the possibility of visiting Toronto for medical follow-up highlights the vulnerability many face regarding health security. Others struggle against discouragement, calling for prayerful solidarity, as the emotional weight of mission life can often feel isolating. Winston Thurton's invitation to deliver an anniversary message in Ontario invites prayers for preparation, a reminder that as missionaries endeavor to serve, their time at home remains precious yet ripe with emotional resonance. Sarah Spear's multitude of prayer requests illustrates the harrowing realities of pastoral care, particularly in chronic illness and bureaucratic navigation. Judith Dancer's gratitude for past support serves as a reminder of the power of prayer and community engagement in overcoming such trials. In conclusion, this report lays bare the realities of missionary life, filled with remarkable resilience, but also fraught with significant challenges. The poignant stories of gratitude, health crises, professional milestones, and urgent prayer requests underscore the necessity of community support. Our call to action is clear. As we stand together in faith, we empower one another to face these challenges head on, fostering a spirit of collaboration and hope within our mission. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour and for your prayer and financial support over these years. This month, we are offering Putting an X Through Anxiety by Louis Giglio. Anxiety is dead, but it's still deadly. Anxiety may be fear over your shoulder, worry by your side, or dread hanging over your life. For many, it's a mighty giant that would like you to believe your life will never be the same again. A giant that traps you in darkness and defeat. But you can live free from anxiety. Knowing firsthand the reality of the battle of anxiety, Pastor Louis Giglio shares practical and spiritual ways to walk in freedom. With encouragement and hope, he unfolds the truth in the paradox that anxiety is dead but still deadly. Namely, there is one whose power has already won the battle. This helpful resource will show you how to put an X through anxiety using the strongest of weapons, the cross of Jesus. Write for your copy to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14,231.
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson and is entitled, Discovery. I know that you'll enjoy this message. Printed copies are available upon request.
Have you ever made an exciting, life-changing discovery? Howard Carter did. He was a British archaeologist, the year 1922. For more than a score of centuries, archaeologists, tourists, and tomb robbers had searched for the burial places of Egypt's pharaoh. It was believed that no more of them had remained undiscovered. But Howard Carter carried on his pursuit, privately financed with only a few scraps of evidence to keep him going. Somewhere, somehow, he was convinced there was one remaining tomb. And then one day, as he crawled through a dark cocoon and peered into the silent darkness, Howard Carter saw what no modern man had ever seen. Wooden animals, statues, chests, gilded chariots, carved cobras, boxes, vases, daggers, jewels, a throne, wooden figures, a hand-carved coffin of a teenaged king. In his own words, everywhere, the glint of gold. It was, of course, the priceless tomb and treasure of King Tutankhamun, King Tut as we know it, the world's most famous, exciting archaeological discovery. More than 3,000 objects in all, taking Mr. Carter about 10 years to remove, catalog, and restore. Exquisite, incredible, elegant, magnificent. Ah, words like this must have passed his lips dozens of times when he first whispered his way through that ancient Egyptian cocoon. Discoveries. There are few joys like the joy of a sudden discovery. Instantly forgotten is the pain and expense of the search, the inconveniences, the hours, the sacrifices. Bathed in the ecstasy of discovery, time stands still. Nothing else seems half so important. Lost in the thrill of the moment, we relish the inexpressible finding. No wonder the Apostle Paul was so excited to tell us about his discovery. He wrote about it again and again. And in the book that we're now studying, the book of Philippians, he expresses it in these remarkable words. I count all things but loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as dung, as nothing, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then excitingly he says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians 3:7-10. You see, Paul had made a marvelous discovery. It included three wonderful things. It included a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It included positional righteousness with God through Jesus Christ, right standing with God through Jesus Christ and his finished work and his righteousness. And it included powerful resurrection, a new life, a victorious life, a life that was found in Jesus Christ, literally his life, Christ's life. That's why Paul could say, for me to live is Christ. Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. What a discovery! So many people have never made that discovery. Like Paul, they continue by their own self-righteous efforts, by religion, by sincerity, to try to make themselves right with God, hoping that somehow, some way, they will make it to heaven someday. And then all of a sudden, the discovery from the clear teaching of the Bible that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who alone is perfect, who alone could keep the law, to die for our sins on the cross, to be raised again, mightily defeating sin and death and hell and Satan, and living today, coming back soon as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and explaining to us that by receiving him, the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and his righteousness is imputed or given, placed on our account, and we are accepted by God. And through faith in Christ and his finished work, we have the assurance of everlasting life, because eternal life is a person, Jesus Christ. The moment we receive him, we become saved and fitted for heaven. What a discovery! But you see, friend, it doesn't end there. That's only the beginning. The greatest discovery you can make in the Christian life is that Christianity is Christ, and that your desire will be, and certainly is, if you are truly saved, to know him better, more intimately, day by day, to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being willing to identify with him and suffer with him and for him if need be, and also be made conformable unto his death, more and more like him, more and more Christ-like in your life. What a discovery, and what an aim, what a purpose. Paul is saying this so that you and I today may discover this glorious truth, that it is not what I do that saves me, it is trusting in what Christ has done. That it is not struggling to be more and more like Jesus, but it is allowing his Holy Spirit to take control of every part of me by surrendering to the lordship of Christ in my life, and then his power over sin that defeats us, and his likeness is more and more a reality in our daily outliving of Christ living within. That I may know him. This was Paul's absolute first and full purpose in life. Everything else took second place. To know Christ intimately. Now you see, there is a problem today in the professing church of Jesus Christ. Believers profess that they know him, and many go through the same routine week after week, attending church, singing, listening to sermons, and then without change, they continue merrily and unconcerned in the same old path. That just isn't scriptural. People believe they're saved. They say, I believe on Christ. They're aware of the fact that there's something decidedly lacking in their lives. They're spiritually cold, and like buckets half filled, they try to splash over the side. But the old life with all its former desires holds more attraction than the things of Christ. Where is the problem? Well, you see, it's that many have professed Christ, but have never, never allowed him to be Lord and master of everything in their life. Their whole purpose is not to know Christ intimately. Oh, they want to know about him, and they want to have his blessings, but they don't want to know him intimately, no matter what the cost, and especially not the fellowship of his sufferings. You see, let me illustrate it. Suppose 25 years ago, you put $1,000 in a bank account as a deposit. And ever since then, you've been drawing $50 a week. You say, that's impossible. The account would have been overdrawn years ago. Well, of course, that's true. But you see, many professing Christians, spiritually speaking, are operating like that. Years ago, they received Jesus Christ into their hearts. And all that Jesus Christ is and has been put to their account. They were soundly saved, but all these years they've been drawing on a beginner's experience. They've only known Christ in that first meeting, in a nominal way. They've not come to know him intimately. Am I speaking about you? Instead of rising in the morning and getting into the Word of God, having a devotional time to draw from the deposit of Christ and all that's yours, your soul's resources, many people get up, hurriedly eat breakfast, rush off to work or school or whatever, totally unprepared to face the problems of life. Little or no time is spent in prayer or in the study of God's Word, no quiet time to solicit God's guidance and his leadership and lordship. And people seem to be too busy to spend time with them. He is crowded out of their lives. And because of it, so many Christians are utterly defeated. There's very little difference in their lifestyle, in their aims, in their purposes, in their goals between the unsaved world and them. No wonder the world isn't interested. They don't see Christ in us. They don't see Christ being formed in us. They don't see our desire for Jesus Christ, no matter what. Nothing, no one else can satisfy us but him. The world just doesn't see that today. You see, you can't live the Christian life in a superficial way. It's not you or me trying to live like Christ. It's Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit living his life through us. Now, there are three essentials here that Paul talks about. I want you to consider them with me this morning. And then make this your prayer daily, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. The first essential is to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. There are a number of scripture verses that indicate that the power of his resurrection gives us newness of life, as it were. In fact, that's what Paul wrote in Romans 6, 4, and 5. It says, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When you become a Christian, you have a new life. The writer of Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, make you perfect, adjust you in every good work to do his will. And how about this verse in 1 Corinthians 6, 14? God hath both raised the Lord and will raise up us through his power. Verse 19, know ye not that your body then is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You and I have the resurrection life of Christ within us. Romans 8, 11 says, that he that raised up Christ from the dead, if he dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his Spirit which dwelleth in you. That's resurrection life. That's resurrection power. Resurrection power is never defeated by barriers of any kind. Only when you submit your will absolutely and completely to the will of God and to the Lordship of Jesus Christ will you ever continue to desire to know him in the power of his resurrection. What does the professing body of believers in Christ need today? We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our lives and thus in our churches to make us victorious and exciting and an attraction to the world that is dead in trespasses and sins. But we're living in an age when the strongest voice or the loudest appeal seems to dominate. All the advertising that comes our way seems to be based on the same principle of high pressure. A purchaser may not have enough money. They may not even think they need a particular article, but because of high-pressure salesmanship or advertising, they feel constrained to buy. In fact, they almost say, I'd be a fool not to buy. And regrettably, unfortunately, the same tool has been incorporated into the program of the evangelical church. We are looking to human personalities to carry us ahead. The preacher has to be forceful, has to have a winning personality, has to be handsome, has to be very talented in many ways. The music has to be the finest. We have to sweep people into ecstasy, as it were, we think. We're ever working for a stronger program to draw people in. We are told that we must compete with programs on television that cost thousands of dollars to prepare. So this same high-pressuring spirit, the dynamic of a materialistic age, has been well integrated into our churches. But the Bible tells us that only one dynamic, only one, the solitary power that can alone attract and draw men and women to personal faith in Christ, is the Holy Spirit. He is the power. We need to fall on our faces humbly before Him. Stop trying through every method of sometimes compromise of the world's ways to get people into the church. Only Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit can do this. No wonder Jesus said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and outermost parts of the earth." To know Christ intimately is to know Him in the power of His resurrection. That means giving your life to Him totally, unreservedly, as Lord and Master, and letting His resurrection life, by the power of the Holy Spirit, flow through your life. And that will cost you something. It will cost you the fellowship of His sufferings. You see, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Let the world laugh and jeer at your testimony for Christ. Let people call you a fanatic. What is that compared to future glory with Christ in heaven and hearing Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Don't be afraid to suffer for Him who was crucified for you. If we would humble ourselves and seek the face of God and call upon Him, surrendering all to Him, and say, "Oh, my one desire is that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, and become more and more like Him," that will conquer every barrier and conquer hearts and lives. May this be our desire and our motive. May we return to the basics and this prayer, Philippians 3:10, in our daily life.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour and for your prayer and financial support over these years. This month, we are offering Putting an X Through Anxiety by Louis Giglio. Anxiety is dead, but it's still deadly. Anxiety may be fear over your shoulder, worry by your side, or dread hanging over your life. For many, it's a mighty giant that would like you to believe your life will never be the same again. A giant that traps you in darkness and defeat. But you can live free from anxiety. Knowing firsthand the reality of the battle of anxiety, Pastor Loic Giglio shares practical and spiritual ways to walk in freedom. With encouragement and hope, he unfolds the truth in the paradox that anxiety is dead but still deadly. Namely, there is one whose power has already won the battle. This helpful resource will show you how to put an X through anxiety using the strongest of weapons, the cross of Jesus. Write for your copy to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.
Trust You more and more, Jesus.